Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast.
Good morning. You may have noticed there's something a little bit different today. Today is Scout Sunday, and I'll be introducing the troop later, and today, for the first time in many years, we have Girl Scouts to join with us, and so we're excited about that. We welcome you to worship today. We hope that you will have a wonderful experience, and there are registration forms on the center aisle. If you would take them and sign them and pass them down to the outside, we'll have a recognition of who is here. After the service, there's a coffee hour in the lounge out to the side, and we hope that you will join with us in fellowship. So having said that, I did not look and see what 173. Would you stand and join in singing hymn number 173?
Thank you. Christ whose glory fills the skies, Christ the true, the only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. Day spring from on high be near, day star in my heart appear. Dark and cheerless is the morn, unaccompanied by thee. Joyless is the day's return, till thy mercy's beams I see. Till they inward light impart, cheer my eyes and warm my heart. Visit then this soul of mine, pierce the gloom of sun and grief. Fill me radiancy divine, scatter all my unbelief. More and more thyself display, shining through the perfect day.
Lord, we thank you for this day. Help us to do our best every day, and forgive us when we slip. Teach us to be kind to other people and to help them at all times. Bless our parents and our teachers and our leaders and all the members of Scouting. Bless us, Lord, in your love for us. Help us to be better scouts and let us do our best for you. Amen.
O God, your will is that all your children should grow into fullness of life.
Give to you the ministry of Scouting.
We offer your thanks for camping, for study and work to build character, for encouragement and genuine patriotism and vital faith. Bless the work of Scouting in this place and around the world. Increase in wisdom and stature, and in favor you and all people. Amen.
Good morning. Before we enter into a time of prayer, we just want to uplift some of the prayers of our congregation as well as our community. We pray and continue to pray for the Matsubayashi and the McDonald family upon the loss of Mikio Matsubayashi last Friday. We ask you that you hold Kimberly and family in your hearts and prayers. We also pray for those who are homebound, those who are not able to come worship with us, who would like to be here. So we lift them up in prayers. But we also want to lift up a special prayer for Ralph Siebold, who many of you have missed. And so he is recovering and is back home. So you can send cards and give calls as well. We want to uplift those beloved family members and friends who are near or abroad, who you would like to lift up prayers for. We also pray this morning on my news feed. I read that 71 people were killed in a crash over Russia this morning, so we lift up those families. We pray for our country and for our leadership. But at this time, I invite you into a time of prayer as we pray with a prayer taken from the Boy Scouts of America website. We pray in their with their shared liturgy. So with our hearts and all our minds and our strength, let us pray. Almighty Creator God, Creator of us all, grant us the patience to wait and listen to your voice. Help us not to seek the answers in the silence of prayer, but rather let your thoughts, God, travel to us and through us as we dare to ascend your mountain of law, your holy hill of truth. Oh God, how thankful we are that you have come into our lives through the Holy Spirit. You know, God, that we're not perfect, that we want to improve. Show us where we can. We pray today for God's children, all the children of the world. May they find peace and love in their families and schools and learn the love of Jesus Christ for each and every one of them through our lives as we interact with each other on a daily basis. We pray for our young people who are seeking a cause which is worthy of their life's commitment and a leader who is deserving of their devotion. We know that our youth must deal with a host of options, so we pray that they do good, that they serve their neighbor, that they serve the stranger, and they do no harm. We pray that you will be with our scouts and each of us as we continue to follow not only the scout law and work, but we work towards being trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And now with the confidence of the children of God, we pray this prayer that your Son, Jesus Christ, taught us to pray. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely.
Good morning. I find it hard to believe sometimes I think about it that it's been 49 years since I first got involved with the Boy Scouts of America. I'm trying to figure out when I'm going to turn 49 to make that possible, but when I was asked to sing this morning, I was looking for something that I thought would be appropriate for Scout Sunday. So I went to a song from one of my favorite artists, a man named Ken Miedema. It's a song about trees. I thought that was fitting with the time that in Scouts we spend out in nature. And it talks about some different kinds of trees. But there's a nice message in it, because inside all of these types of trees, it talks about how we're all the same, with roots growing down to the water and leaves growing up to the sunshine. This is the tree song.
I saw a tree by the riverside one day as I walked along. Straight as an arrow and pointing to the sky, growing tall and strong. How do you grow so straight and tall? I said to the riverside tree. This is the song that my tree friend sang to me.
I've got roots growing down to the water. I've got leaves growing up to the sunshine. And the fruit that I bear is the sign of the life in me. I am shade from the hot summer sundown. I am nest for the birds of the heavens. I'm becoming what the maker of trees has blessed me to be. A strong young tree. I saw a tree in the winter time when snow lay on the ground, straight as an arrow and pointing to the sky while winter winds blew all around. How do you stay so tall and strong? I said to the wintertime tree. This is the song that my tree friend sang to me. I've got roots growing down to the water. I've got leaves growing up to the sunshine. And the fruit that I bear is the sign of the life in me. I am shade from the hot summer sundown. I am nest for the birds of the heavens. I'm becoming what the Lord of trees has blessed me to be. A strong young tree. I saw a tree in the city streets where buildings block the sun. Green and lovely, and I could see it gave joy to everyone. How do you grow in the city streets? I said to the downtown tree. This is the song that my tree friend sang to me. I've got roots growing down to the water. I've got leaves growing up to the sunshine. And the fruit that I bear is the sign of the life in me. I am shade from the hot summer sundown. I am nest for the birds of the heaven. I'm becoming what the Lord of trees has blessed me to be. A strong young tree. A strong young tree. A strong young tree. A strong young tree.
All right, we need all the kids up here. Hello, everybody. You brought your luggage with you. Hey, everybody here. Hi. Hi, Landon. Well, we've got lots of all sorts of new friends here, too. Welcome, everybody. So we are going to talk today again about church seasons. We had talked about this a few months ago, how the church calendar and season is different than the regular church calendar or the regular calendar that everybody else uses and that we use day to day. So today is a special day besides Scout Sunday. We're right in the middle between Advent and Christmas and Epiphany and Easter. So today is called Transfiguration Sunday. And I wondered if anybody up here knows what transfiguration might mean. It's a very difficult word, I know. Transfiguration, can you guess what it might mean? It means, definition, is to change your form or appearance into something more beautiful and radiant. And so today, in the scripture lesson, all the adults have been reading scripture to find out that Jesus took three of his disciples up a very tall mountain, and he transformed. He had a transfiguration where he became brighter and whiter. The light was so bright and white, his clothes were so white that even any bleach that was ever invented could never make anything that white. And he was beautiful. So this is where we are in the middle of the church calendar. And let's see, this Wednesday, February 14th, is also another special day in the calendar. Can you think of a regular calendar thing on February 14th that's exciting?
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. Now how about the church calendar? Something collides with the regular calendar. Wednesday.
Ash Wednesday.
Ooh, so good. Ash Wednesday. So this is a big time.
My name is Ashley.
And her name is Ashley. Thank you very much. This is a very important day, Wednesday. That's funny. You got to write that down. All right. So we've got this big, another big day on the calendar on Wednesday. So we're going from Ash Wednesday 40 days to Easter. And for most people, those 40 days are ordinary. But for Christians, it's a really big time for us. And I brought a little friend to help talk about Lent. Lent is the next season we're hitting on Wednesday. Where did he go? His name is Cuddles, the caterpillar. He's got big googly eyes. Do you mind holding him in your hand for me very gently? You can pass him around. Just don't pull him apart. So during Lent, we need to be more reflection. We're going to reflect more. We're going to prepare ourselves for Easter. We're going to be sometimes giving things up, like treats. I'm not very good at that. But we also can give back more, which is really great for Scout Sunday because Scouts are always giving back and doing wonderful things. So Cuddles is going to represent us humans during Lent. You can hold Cuddles. Okay, so Cuddles doesn't look like much. He's cute, but you can't really tell how amazing he is when you look at him. And Lent made me think of caterpillars. And cocoons. This is my homemade, very weird cocoon that I made. But I was thinking that during Lent, we can be like a caterpillar. Have you ever heard of something called metamorphosis? In school, right? It's the coolest thing because a caterpillar cocoons itself, makes a cocoon, and fasts, kind of like in Lent. We can kind of copy a caterpillar. But he basically shuts down a little bit and goes within. And goes through this transformation. And that's what we can do during this season. As humans, we could take time to read those beautiful Bibles that you got last week. We could meditate and pray more and reflect more, journal. We can do more good deeds during these next 40 days. So what we're doing is we're softening our hearts and allowing Jesus to work within us to transform our souls and our hearts into more than we ever could imagine it could be during this time, a better version. So like the caterpillar going into his cocoon, we come out at Easter and we can become a butterfly, right? We are metamorphosis and we transform. Can you open that for me? So you're going to be making these today during Sunday school, I believe, with Miss Letha. I know, so exciting. And hopefully you get a cocoon, too. We'll see. We'll see. But this is what we're going to do during this very special time of Lent. So when we look at one another, like this caterpillar, you might not see much. You know, you don't know what this little caterpillar is going to become, but God knows, and he sees. And if we take this time and make it really special, we can become something more spectacular than we could ever have imagined. So let's try to take this Lenten season to just look really deep down into our hearts, dig deep, and let God and allow God do what he needs to do with us. So let us pray. This is a repeat after me prayer. You ready? Dear Jesus, help us to cocoon ourselves in quiet and calm during the season of Lent. Soften our hearts so you can work within us and change us every day into something more magnificent and beautiful than we could ever imagine. Be with us today, Lord. Help us take whatever step is next for us. Transform us in your light. We ask this through the power of your love. Amen. Thank you. Have a really wonderful time at Sunday school.
Good morning. 2 weeks ago, I greeted you in the name of United Methodist Women, changing hats. I'm recognizing on Boy Scout Sunday. As you see in the program, my name is Kathy Ellis, and I am the chartered organization rep for Troop 18. That's a long title. But my father started Troop 18 in 1941. So I wasn't around then, but but he started, and then after my dad passed on, I inherited the honor. And I'd like to introduce you to the troop. Dirk Etchison is the scoutmaster. And Charles, George Osorio and Dan Doggett, who are assistant scoutmasters. And then the boys that are here, will stand please. And I guess we've lost the Girl Scouts and the Brownies. They went to have fun. The Brownies are I guess that's a pack? I don't know what a Brownie is. 3496, and the Girl Scouts are from Troop, I got this problem with words, 6286. So we're glad to have them here and join us today. Dan, did you want to say just a short word? Oh, wait a minute. I wanted to forget. I also want to ask the two readers today are Eagle Scouts. Patty met them at the 8:15 service. Okay, Jesse and Patty met at 8:15 service a couple weeks ago, and it came out that he's a Boy Scout. He's an Eagle Scout. I found out this morning he was from Tucson, Arizona. So, Jesse, now that you know where we are, they meet on Wednesday night. So welcome. Dan?
Two different things that I want to mention real quickly. One of them Boy Scout related, so I'll do that one first. Kathy mentioned that Troop 18 started in 1941. Along the way, now and then, we've also had a Cub Scout pack here. Cub Scouts serve now kindergarten through fifth grade to age up till now boys. But at the moment, there is no Pack 18, but we're trying to get it going again. And so I wanted to let you know that if you know any boys or girls in the kindergarten through fifth grade age, because Boy Scouts of America is now introducing what is being called family scouting, and girls are being welcomed into our programs as well, who might be interested in the Cub Scout program. A week from this coming Wednesday, on the 21st, we're having a recruiting night right here in the social hall at 7 p.m. We have some flyers. Phil Connery is the Cub Master of one of our neighboring packs, and he's graciously come over to help us promote that event. So if you know anybody that might be interested, take a flyer. Phil has those, and we'd love to see that out, maybe neighbors or for friends that you know. The other one is, speaking of changing hats, Christmas tree lot. No, I'm not starting to recruit for next year. I'll wait till next week or the week after to start that. But one of the big groups that helps us with manpower at the tree lot is Troop 18. And so I thought while they were here, I would give you the final word. Now that we've finished paying the sales tax and paying the credit card fees and everything else, we came out this year on our Christmas tree lot at almost exactly $25,000. That is a huge amount of money paid off by from lots of effort from lots of folks that then goes to our various missions and outreach programs. So thank you so much, all of you who helped out. And all right, I said I wasn't going to recruit, but December's not that far away. Put it in your calendar, and well, then you won't be surprised when I start pitching for it in the fall. So thank you, Kathy.
The altar flowers today are given by the Ellis family. Wonder who they are. Now, by the Ellis family in honor of Troop 18 and Scout Sunday. Thank you.
Joe Voischta from Kenosha, Wisconsin, was an enthusiastic Boy Scout. In his early teens, he was already a life, and he was also a den chief, which is a leader for the Weeblos, young boys that are just starting their scouting experiences. They said that he was born with the trait of thoughtfulness. His mother says that Joe would come with her to the store to get groceries, and he would bring a selection of coins. And he would stop in an aisle and leave a coin on a low-hanging shelf and wonder what would happen if a child were to pass by and giggle with excitement upon finding a coin. When he was a teenager, Joe was diagnosed with leukemia. and yet even still he remained thoughtful. When he was in the hospital, he went down into the cafeteria and saw a young girl asleep at a table by herself. So Joe went back up to his room, got his pillow, brought it back to the dining room, and he slept right next to her so that he would be there for her when she awoke. When he was only 16, Joe felt his life slipping away. He left his bicycle to his best friend, he left his camping gear to his Boy Scout troop, and to everyone in his life, he left them love and well wishes. From life until death, Joe was a thoughtful giver. His mother said that he was a big man in a little body. He was everything that a scout and Christian should aspire to be. He was enthusiastic, careful, thoughtful, and giving. He lived by our scout law. Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Whether we are scouts or not, regardless of our age, we can all be more like Joe. The ushers will now wait upon the congregation for this morning's tithes and offerings. Thank you.
Bless us, O God, and these gifts that which we bring. May these gifts that we now offer up to you be a sign of our trust in God's promise of a new tomorrow, a better day, a sign that love and forgiveness have indeed found a way. Amen.
this on? Okay. I'll be reading 9239. With the holy angels, and he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power." And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, and by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his garments became glistening, intensely white, and as no fuller on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to be them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking to Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make these booths, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were exceedingly afraid, and a cloud overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man should have risen from the dead. To the word of God for the people of God, thanks to be to God.
So there's a letter that went out from a scout to his family, and it read, "Dear Mom and Dad, we're having a great time here at Camp Catch a Cough. Our scout master is making us all write to our parents in case you saw the flood on TV and were worried. We're okay. Only one of our tents and 2 sleeping bags got washed away. Luckily, none of us drowned, or because we were all up on the mountaintop looking for Charlie when it happened. Oh, yes, please call Charlie's mother and tell her that he is okay, too. He can't write because of the cast. But I got to ride in one of the search and rescue jeeps. It was really neat. We never would have found him in the dark if it hadn't been for the lightning. Scoutmaster got mad at Charlie for going up on a hike in the mountain alone without telling anyone. Charlie said he didn't tell him because it was during the fire, so he probably didn't hear him. Did you know that if you put gas on a fire, the gas could blow up? The wet wood still didn't burn, but one of our tents did. Also, some of our clothes. John is going to look really weird until his hair grows back. We will be home on Saturday if Scoutmaster gets the car fixed. It wasn't his fault about the week and about the wreck. The brakes worked okay when we left. Scoutmaster said that the car was old and you have to expect something to break down. That's probably why he can't get insurance on it. We think it's a neat car, though. He doesn't care if we get it dirty and if it's hot. Sometimes he lets us ride on the back of the tailgate. It gets pretty hot with 10 people in a car. So he lets us take turns riding in the trailer until the highway patrolman stopped and talked to us. Our scoutmaster is a really neat guy. Don't worry, he's a good driver. In fact, he's teaching Travis how to drive. But he only lets him drive on the mountain roads where there isn't any traffic. All we ever get up there are logging trucks anyway. But this morning, all of the guys were diving off of the rocks and swimming out to the lake. Scoutmaster wouldn't let me because I can't swim. And, well, you know, Charlie has his cast and all, so he would sink. So he let us take the canoe across the lake. It was great. You can still see some of the trees under the water from the flood. Scoutmaster isn't crabby like some scoutmasters. He didn't even get mad about the life jackets. But guess what? We all passed our first aid and merit badges. When David dove into the lake, he cut his arm, and we all got to see how a tourniquet works. Also, Raymond and I threw up. And Scoutmaster said it was probably just food poisoning from the leftover chicken. But Mom, Dad, I have to go now. We're going into town to mail our letters and to get extra bandages. Don't worry about anything. We're fine. Love, your son. P.S. How long has it been since I had a tetanus shot? Hello, Mutta, hello, Fada, letters aside. It is sometimes in our mountaintop experiences and in the coming back down that we don't want to freak out anyone too badly. Today we are celebrating Scout Sunday, and it's a part of the scouting experience. There are a lot of wilderness and mountaintop experiences. So at some point, you may be bound to freak out a little, especially when you're hiking up a mountain with Jesus and Moses and Elijah, and they show up on that mountaintop. So what and who have you been in awe of in your lifetime? Who are your mentors and who are the leaders who have transformed and transfigured your life? Let us think on these things. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in thy sight, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So to not have our Girl Scouts feeling left out, even though they are in Sunday school because they're younger, here are some things that you know if you're a scouter, girl or boy, if, past or present, if most of your wardrobe is olive, brown, or drab, and khaki, if you spontaneously break into strange campy songs in public, if you enjoy going to the bathroom in the woods, guys, you always read by flashlight, you hoard tent stakes, you roast a mini marshmallow on a paperclip over a candle and then put a golden gram with one square of chocolate on it just to get the flavor of a s'more. You may open your mail with a pocket knife, or you know 365 one-pot meals. If your microwave is a box wrapped in foil, or you have the urge to help little old ladies, whether they want it or not. Your favorite perfume or cologne is Deep Woods Off. For the Girl Scouts, your closets are full and they don't contain clothes, they contain crafts. And once a year, your house is full of Girl Scout cookies or first aid kits. And for you adult scouters, I know there are a lot of you here, I want all of you scouts who have ever been a scout, Boy Scouts present, Girl Scouts present, raise your hand. If you are an adult scouter, you get to spend quality time with your children and 30 of their closest friends. But also, the moment you hear someone who says, gee, I used to be an Eagle Scout or a Girl Scout, and you get them to volunteer for anything. So that would be Eddie, and that would be our buddy. Where is he? There he is, right there. Jesse over there. They said, oh, I was an Eagle Scout. We're like, on. But for all scouts, you deeply understand the potential of a group working together. You know that you have brothers and sisters all over the world. So as we recognize today as Scout Sunday, we uplift the values and characters of these programs that build our young people. We recognize our church-sponsored Boy Scout Troop 18 and our local Girl Scouts and Cadet Troops. I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head right now because they're big. 3496 and 6286. And then we also have another Scout, Boy Scout, from what's his troop? Pack 311, Den 5. So we've got scouts all over. We have our Eagle Scouts that are former and present, those from afar and near. But we also recognize the work and ministry of scouting for all of our youth and former scouts who are in these troops or other troops. This morning on this Scout Sunday, which is also Transfiguration Sunday, as we think about the importance of the promises, oaths, and covenants, we recognize those who have taught us and mentored us in the transformative and transfigurative ways that God continues to work in and through our lives in the promises that we make to God and to each other. So 'tis the season of the scout, and it's a year-round season for all scouts. But you really know that it is Girl Scout season because you are first bombarded with that difficult decision of which Girl Scout cookies that you need to order. Then in a month, you're bombarded with a dozen different cookie boxes because you couldn't decide between the Thin Mints or the Tagalongs, which are my favorites, by the way. But I am personally grateful that our region gets the Little Brownie Bakers instead of the ABC Bakers. Side note, did you guys know that all Girl Scout cookies were not created equally? Some of you did. But I digress. Alas, I must confess to you that I was not a scout. But I should be a scout by virtue of the sheer number of cookies that I have eaten and have bought from Girl Scouts. The most clever of the Girl Scouts would first sell cookies to me on a Sunday morning at church, then they'd hit up my dad, then they'd hit up my mom, and then my grandma, and then my two sisters. And at the end of the month, we'd have 12 boxes of cookies. So I should at least get a Girl Scout cookie eating badge. And if you are trying to get a Girl Scout cookie eating badge, here's our PR commercial. The Girl Scouts are selling our cookies in the lounge today. So if you'd like to buy some, but if you know that Lent is coming and you're not ready to buy your cookies yet, or you can always donate your cookies in change, because that good goes into the community, through community service, through helping the Scouts. So the end of my PR for today, my PSA, I digressed. But like martial arts, those who rise up in their ranks and levels of skill, when one is promoted, they are promoted through a level of steps and being symbolically moved from white belt to yellow to orange to green to purple to brown and then black belt. With scouting, it's similar. For the boys, you have your age level scouting. You have tiger and cub and wolf and bear and weebelos and Boy Scouts. And then within that system, the Boy Scouts earn badges and raise their ranks from scout to tenderfoot to second class to first class to star life to eagle. I did my homework. And then the same is for the Girl Scouts, who start out as daisies. Then they move up to being brownies and juniors and cadets, scouts and seniors and ambassadors, which for them lead to very special awards, the bronze, the silver, and the gold, just like the Olympics. And as today is Scout Sunday, we also want to lift up those who are Life Scouts or those who are Sea Scouts, as well as our Scout leaders and their masters. But the foundations of each of these different scouting memberships and organizations is in remembering what each of you have promised and covenanted to follow as the basic tenets of living through Scout oaths and promises and Scout law. And these oaths and promises and laws are not too different from one another. At this time, I'm going to put our Scouts on the spot, those past and present. So if anyone was ever a Girl Scout, will you raise your hand? Okay, I expect you to be loud and clear. I'm going to ask you to recite this Girl Scout promise. I see Lynn saying, I don't remember. Are you ready? On my honor. Good job, Girl Scout. And now, boys, Boy Scouts, it's your turn. The girls gave you a head start. What is the Boy Scout oath? Are you ready? On my honor? All right. Thank you. That was awesome. So in front of me, you all just promised to keep your eyes and your ears open while I preach my sermon today. Mentally awake. Thank you. But on a more serious note, what each of these two groups is promising or covenanting as language we like to use here in church is not any more different than what God covenants with us. It is also in this covenant the decades of scouts that have taken these oaths. They learned, they taught, they mentored the next generations of scouts. This morning, the lectionary loans itself to very special biblical readings. As we talk about covenants and mentoring, as 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 14, is about mentoring relationships of Elijah and Elisha. And they had their very own don't freak out moment as God took up Elijah in a whirlwind to heaven, but not before Elijah was able to impart the wisdom to Elisha. In our children's time, in our anthem, in our hymns, as they too preach the transfiguration story, the story that we heard from Mark today. You can also find that story in our synoptic gospels of Matthew and Luke and a little bit of John, which alludes to it in chapter 1. But there is a clear message of why. Why we are called to covenant with each other and with God. We're called to do so because God works in and through us, through our character, through our leadership, and how we can be prepared and attentive to God's call. Unlike our old school disciple scouts, who definitely had their carpentry and fishing and knotting badges before they met Jesus, Peter, James, and John were getting their backpacking and hiking experience on their ultimate with their ultimate scout master, Jesus Christ, in addition to working on their first aid healing badges with him down in the villages. They were instantly vying for their fire safety and tent pitching badges. Because they were suddenly blinded by a sight of Jesus in blinding, dazzling white. And then Jesus was just chatting with two old friends, the prophets Elijah and Moses. Mind you, that is a sight to be seen alone and tried not to freak out about. This morning, Norman and I both shared the same sentiment. How did these disciples even know what Moses and Elijah looked like? That is a total freak out moment. But not knowing what else to do, and not wanting to freak out too bad in front of their mentors and role models, Peter fumbled around and suggested, oh, we need to build three dwelling places. We need to pitch three tents. We need to mark this place sacred for Jesus and Moses and Elijah for this special moment. But then another don't freak out moment happened. And a great cloud overshadowed them with a voice in the cloud saying, this is my son, my beloved. Listen to him. And that was the command, the covenant that the disciples were called to follow. As scouts make their promise and oaths before God and before each other, we strive to keep our promises. But sometimes when we do not, we remember that God always gives us second chances. That even in the midst of trying to do our best to help people at all times, it's not always possible. Or sometimes not even the first thought in our minds. But we are given many opportunities to make a difference and to make change happen in our communities and in our world. And that is because in our covenant to God, we strive to be good people. That we don't need to freak out, but we are to stay calm and steadfast and faithful, just as God has been in our lives. It is our opportunity to live as Christian people in the world. I have had the honor to participate in several Boy Scout Eagle Courts of Honor, and also have celebrated Girl Scouts at the completion of their Gold Awards. How proud we are to be able to watch our young people grow. And it also is about transformation. Perhaps their scout uniforms don't instantly change from khaki or olive or brown to dazzling white, but there is a transfiguration of sorts that sees those youth stand a little taller, being someone for others to look up to. And of course, we're reminded in the Mark passage that we stand on the shoulders of our elders and our mentors, our Elijahs and our Moseses, those who have walked with us on our journeys to this transformational change. In this experience, Jesus stands with his mentors and his leaders, and his divinity is shown to the disciples. The Markan text encourages us to walk and live as global citizens and better Christians in this world. But what Mark reminds us of in this mountaintop experience is of reaching the height of the mountain and seeing the glory all around us at the height of those mountains. It's about coming back down from the mountains and continuing the work and the ministry that we are called to do. That's the hard part. Although the disciples had their fanboy freak out one moment and wanted to glorify the moment and build tents on the mountain for Elijah, Moses, and Jesus, Jesus reminded them that there was still work to be done. For our scouts, it's about standing a little taller. but it's also about being models and mentors for your peers and the younger ones who follow you. It's about being a part of transforming others and their lives as well as their own. I recognize that in the past few years, the Boy Scouts of America have been in deep discernment about policy changes that affect scouts and churches nationwide. Polls were authorized by the BSA. They had asked for public opinion on their stances and laws regarding becoming a more inclusive organization, which we have seen in the past few years. It has in itself transformed as an organization to become just that. By opening the doors to LGBTQ youth, particularly changing its policies on allowing transgender youth, and now most recently girls into your organization, we have seen how faithful organizations have taken a profound stance in their own transfiguration experience. And of course, it is up to each individual and our, as a troop, each individual troop, to truly determine where you stand on larger social issues. And you are each encouraged to take a stand and to use your voices to make change happen as global citizens of the world. In this season of Lent, which begins this week, we start with Ash Wednesday, and thus begins the season of introspection and deep connection with God as we find and seek our own transformation in God's love. During Lent, the question often asked of us is, what are you giving up for Lent? Perhaps I can suggest that we can give up apathy. And so whatever stance you take on issues, to be active, to be true to yourself and to who you are. When we stand aside and watch, we are not part of making change happen. But Lent is not only about what you are giving up in order to experience what sacrifice is, but it also calls to what you can commit yourself to adding to your life. To what do you want to do to find personal transformation in your own life and being? This morning, as we look at the Boy Scout and Girl Scout laws, we recognize how scouting continues to build on the foundations of promises and covenants, and builds on our own personal character. It is about being true in your character and identity. As Scout laws integrate the traits of trustworthiness, loyalty, helpfulness, friendliness, courtesy, kindness, obedience, cheerfulness, thriftiness, bravery, cleanliness, that's important, reverence, as well as being honest and fair and strong and responsible of both words and actions, respectful of both yourself, others, and authority, being resourceful, as you are called to make the world a better place as global sisters and brothers. As scouts, as children of God, it is in our living our promises and oaths and covenants to each other that we are living them out to each other and to God. That it is through our guides and mentors in Jesus Christ and calling back our elders from whose shoulders we stand on, that as we differ from the disciples, we no longer need to keep silent and ponder. Because each of us, each of you, has been called. Called by God to be transformed and changed to go out into the world. So to my friends in khaki, brown, and olive, don't freak out. Fear not, for God walks with all of us in our journeys, both up and coming down from the mountaintop. Amen. Please join together in standing and singing, I Stand Amazed in the Presence, hymn 371.